Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, you can listen to us anywhere you are right now. Just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. And that's why we have listeners all over the place. Well, speaking of all over the place, let me go to the phones right now. I've got a brethren in the industry here who's calling in right now. Matt Murphy is the co-host of Matt and Val, which is heard on Talk 99.5 down in the Birmingham area. He's been doing this for a lot of years, and he wrote a piece lately for 1819 News that just really caught my attention. I just hollered at him and said, "Man, you got to come on the show." So, Matt Murphy, welcome to Right Side Radio. How you doing, man?
Well, thanks, Phil. It's a pleasure to be on with you, and I figured that the piece that I wrote for 1819 News would be absolutely up your alley, considering the many op-eds that I've read of yours over the years.
Well, I appreciate it, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and point out that you're the only talk radio host who's ever hung up on me while I was on the air with you, so this is where I'd have to plot my revenge while you were on the air together.
Well, one of the central reasons that I'm happy that happened, Phil, is because now you have a story that you're never going to let me forget.
That's exactly right, man. Well, listen, so here's the deal. AL.com wrote something that just drew my ire, and I was so glad to see you popped off a response to it before anybody could. And AL.com basically published this sleazebag review of Alabama claiming that we're an unhappy state, and that we somehow polled that way by this organization that's based out of England, go figure. And so you wrote a piece and you said, they tell us we're unhappy, don't believe them, and talked about you taking a trip along the back roads and small towns of Alabama on your motorcycle and just finding just the opposite, man. So before we even talk about politics, I want to hear about that. Go ahead and give us your experiences on that.
Well, the AL.com piece struck me as a number of things, Phil. One, most of which was lazy, right? I mean, and I know how this journalism goes because I see some of these pieces, these phony baloney surveys in my email inbox every day. I'm sure you do as well, where they send something out, and the design is to get media organizations like AL.com to print something that will eventually lead someone back to these websites. And I don't necessarily begrudge the people that are sending out the emails. I begrudge the companies that choose to publish this garbage, and it's invariably some sort of survey, you know, the favorite food of every state, or, you know, the states that are happiest, or the states that are sad. And they ranked Alabama fourth happiest, and I looked at some of the metrics that they used, and it was all money-related nonsense, really. These metrics didn't really mean anything in terms of happiness, at least the way I grew up. And I thought about my grandfather and the way he grew up and the way he raised me. And then I thought about this motorcycle trip that I took about a year ago, and I decided to write a response piece because it seems to me that the people that write these surveys, the people that apparently write for AL.com, and those that live in New York City and Washington, D.C., and some of these other metro regions, they want to measure happiness first and foremost about money and power. And yeah, that's not the happiness that I learned when I was a child. That's not the happiness that I saw across Alabama when I took a trip on my motorcycle last year. Just to answer your question a little more directly, I was furloughed for a week, just like many companies. Our company decided to try to furlough full-time employees as an effort to save employees, ultimately. And during that week, there was a lot of turmoil going on in the world. The George Floyd issue had just, caused a lot of distress, right, in major metropolitan regions around the country, and a lot of liberals on mainstream media were stirring that pot. And I decided to get back to kind of the roots of what I believe Alabama to be. And it was incredibly cathartic. I had an opportunity to meet people, poor people, rich people, black people, white people. And by and large, Phil, I got to tell you, I couldn't disagree more with this phony survey. The people of Alabama are happy. And they're happy because they have friends and they have neighbors and they have loved ones and they go to church and they give to their charity organizations and they believe in their communities. And it's that type of rural Alabama that I wish AL.com would get out to more, because maybe they'd learn to love Alabama like we do.
Well, it's absolutely right, man. I mean, I'm looking at the article right now. I pulled it up just to reference it while we were talking. And you went to places that like Hatchachubie and Smut Eye and Brundage and Georgiana and Camden and Selma. I mean, you were literally And I love the fact you said, like, you never talked to people about bank accounts. You didn't talk about news or race or climate change. Nobody asked for the transgender bathroom, and everybody looked happy. And then the best one to me, though, was a lady named Miss Peggy, and you sat next to her on a bench in Union Springs by the town square and basically had a great conversation with this sweet stranger. And that was the best part of the article for me, was Miss Peggy, I think.
Well, yeah, and it was really cathartic for me too, Phil. And I didn't necessarily bore people with some of the more sentimental after effects of that. But I sat there in Union Springs for a long time thinking about Miss Peggy, because, you know, she was an older African American woman. You know, she told me a few stories about the things she had been through in her past, and this is a woman that lived through, you know, real racial discrimination. She lived through, you know, some of the real sins of America that it's altogether right and proper to address and to memorialize in history books, because it's important that we don't repeat it. But she bore no grudge, as she seemed to, at least. I mean, we sat on a bench for 30, 45 minutes and talked, and I just inquired about her life. And she grew up near Union Springs. Her father was a sharecropper when she grew up. I mean, it was just a wonderful experience with a woman that I'll, you know, never meet again. But it galvanized in me what we experience every day. And I don't think we recognize this enough. And I, and what we do, Phil, as talk radio hosts, you expose yourself to these mainstream media organizations. And it's all doom and gloom. And to hear or watch some of this nonsense, you would think that, I mean, we're about to break out in some sort of race war or some sort of class struggle. Not true. Most people that we interact with every day are good people. They're kind people. They want to share kindness, and they want kindness returned. And that's what I saw in Miss Peggy. And you know, she in that little 30-minute conversation, she taught me a lesson that I'll never forget. I know that she wouldn't remember me if she met me today, but I'll never forget her.
Well, I will say this too, man. So when I read this about you on the bench with Miss Peggy in Union Springs, I'm picturing a scene from Forrest Gump, and you're Forrest Gump. That's what I'm seeing in my mind right now.
Well, you can go to Union. If you go to Union Springs and you take a right from the Bird Dog statue, right down past the pharmacy, you'll see that bench across from the old courthouse that Miss Peggy and I sat on, and it felt that way to me too, Phil. It was kind of like a scene out of the movie. It's pretty cool.
All right. Well, hey, brother, if we take a short break right now, can you hang on? I want to talk politics with you for a few minutes. You good with that?
I'd love it.
All right, Matt Murphy, co-host of Matt and Val's show every morning 6 to 10 on Talk 99.5 down in Birmingham. He's also the program director down there, and he is going to be back with us here in a minute. Talk about a little politics. How does he see it from the Birmingham perspective? I think a lot like we see it up here. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We say it all the time, but we mean it. Solid, conservative, and just plain right is more than just a mantra. It's the way we live our lives. So listen, we're going to go back to the phones right now. My brethren, Matt Murphy, is on. He's the co-host of Matt and Val in the Mornings on Talk 99.5 down in Birmingham. Been doing this for a lot of years. So, hey, Matt, let me ask you this, switching gears for a minute, politics. So, big topic on my show, I'm sure you've dealt with it on your show, has been the executive order by Governor Ivey regarding vaccine mandates. How's that playing out on your show? What are you seeing here?
All right, I want to talk about vaccine mandates, Phil, but you piqued my interest. I was thinking during the break, I have to ask the question. Was it not medical marijuana that you were on my show about, that you and I kind of got a little crossways, and you know, of course, like I do, I blew my top and all of that. What wasn't it medical marijuana?
Well, brother, I'm going to go ahead and label it twice. So you've actually hung up on me twice. Both times I called back in and we had at it. One was transgender bathrooms, and the other was medical marijuana. So there you go.
You know, all right. So this is where, you know, and your slogan for your show, your slug line for your show, couldn't be more correct, because I mean, you are the epitome of conservatism in Alabama, and I say that as a compliment. And I'm kind of I'm kind of the equal time. I'm more of a libertarian guy. So we hit on those several issues on which we disagree, but I bet we agree on 90% of the.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
That we might disagree.
I will state that as a witness on the air. I agree with you 90% of the time, at least, if not more.
But the things that we agree on, I know that you're very vocal about in Huntsville, and I try to be in Birmingham, and I bet you we agree on this executive order, which is this. Unfortunately, the KIV administration has become increasingly reactive and not proactive, and they seem to react to environments around them as opposed to proactively seeing what needs to be done and getting ahead of it. Like some other governors, frankly, right around us, or Ron DeSantis, obviously comes to mind. Greg Abbott's another example in Texas. But the executive order, I think, is a reactive situation that the governor, she responded to criticism that she had not done more to protect Alabama workers and Alabama businesses. And the executive order doesn't do anything, I mean, at least to my reading. I'm not a lawyer, Phil. You are. But you tell me, and you've been in the Senate, so you know how these executive orders are written. What authority does this give the governor that she doesn't already have? I don't understand what this does exterior to her basic job duties as governor.
No, you're exactly right, and you pretty much nailed it. I mean, it was disappointing in that regard. You know, it affirmed a couple of things. It did affirm that she is all for the idea of the AG pursuing litigation, so I'm glad to hear it. It affirmed that she's not planning on firing any of her executive staff employees or whatever. But then, you know, right after that, arguably, the university system, arguably, mm-hmm. is a part of the executive branch. I mean, they're not legislative. They're not judicial. What's left, right? Executive branch. And yet Auburn University thumbed their nose at her the very same day and said, yeah, we don't get it. We're not doing that. And so they're proceeding with their vaccine mandate. So it obviously was hollow. It didn't have any teeth in it. And it left a lot to be desired, and it leaves the legislature. I'm hearing sentiments among the legislature that should have been very vocal already on this, that are saying, "Oh, I guess we got to do something now." And that's kind of where it's at. And it's been disappointing, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
Well, and I would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, I mean, if I remember my basic U.S. government from back in high school, right? The legislative branch makes the law. The executive branch enforces the laws, and the judicial branch adjudicates and interprets the laws. So as an enforcement division, I guess in this respect, from the university standpoint, yeah, you're enforcing and carrying out the will of the Alabama legislature, but that runs afoul of the executive order if you're mandating vaccinations on the campuses because of some federal fiat, which specifically is supposedly spelled out in the order. I also heard, Phil, and you probably heard the same, that the Alabama Department of Public Health issued something internally that indicated that they had a new federal mandate that came down. This was the day after she issued the executive order. I guess it was the day of, in which they were indicating that they were going to be compelled by federal mandate as opposed to the executive order of the governor. So I don't think it does anything. And this is my least favorite phrase, but I'll use it. At the end of the day, I don't think it matters. Because I don't think that the Biden administration has any intention of moving forward with this mandate. I think they've seen the pushback. I think that the scales are tipping on the concept of mandatory vaccinations. Now, whether businesses go along with it is another question, but I don't believe the federal government's going to mandate. And here's why, Phil. They at least will push it back to January, because there's no way. It's my understanding that well in excess of 30% of the TSA, for example, is unvaccinated. There's zero chance that the Biden administration is going to fire 30% of the TSA in advance of Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Well, and on top of that, I'll tell you too, you've seen the supply chain is jacked up right now. The economy is reeling because of it. And in part, it's because of the trucking industry. And the National mm-hmm. Trucking Association came out a story that I had earlier. They estimate that upwards of 35% of their membership in the National Trucking Association is not vaccinated and likely to quit their jobs and further jack up the supply chain, all of which will come back to the Biden vaccine mandate, and they'll have to wear it like a hat.
Well, and here's the reality. There was a point where I could sit down and listen to an argument about a necessary mandate or quarantines. I mean, we did all that, right? We did all that in the early stages of the pandemic. And it was, you know, it could be argued what we should have done, what we shouldn't have done. But ultimately, I don't mind erring on the side of caution when something new like this comes along. We have no idea what it's going to do. We now know that there is no real and present danger that unvaccinated people present to vaccinated people. there's no real and present danger to the general public if I choose not to get a vaccine. Therefore, there's no compelling interest for the government to tell me as an individual that I have to do something that I don't want to do. And that's kind of my standard. It's always been my standard. And I think the will of the people and the smarts of the people of Alabama and the rest of the country is going to win this thing.
And are you sure you don't have a law degree? That sounded very lawyerly. I'm going to be honest with you. That was smooth, man.
No, I've been around a lot of smart people like yourself. No, I just surround myself. I didn't have the discipline to actually go to law school, so I just, you know, you just huddle up and listen to lawyers for about 25 years, and you eventually some of it rubs off.
Well, hey, man, appreciate you being on the show today. Matt Murphy, host of Val and Matt in the Morning, Matt and Val in the Morning on Talk 99.5 down in Birmingham. Thanks, man, for being on the show with us.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, you guys. Hey, that was Matt Murphy of Talk 99.5, and he's been doing this for quite a while. You can also find some of the stuff he writes, like the one we talked about earlier on 1819 News. He's a regular contributor there, and so go check it out. But I'll be honest with you. I am glad that we had the time to talk about the fact that he and I both agree this is not an unhappy state. We may be unhappy with things here and there. We have moments we get frustrated at something or whatever else, but generally speaking, it's not like a level of discontent that ranks us as an unhappy state. I reject that notion outright, and he put it as well or better than I could have in his piece on 1819 News. So anyway, glad of it. All right, folks, we're going to come back with the last piece of the Triple Dipper, talking about taxation without representation. However, the news is changing as we speak, and I'm going to tell you about that on taxation when we come back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.